Why don't we finish reading the book of Revelation in chapter 20? I don't know much about it, but I can tell you what it says. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him what? Let me read it to you again. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Where does he first appear? Genesis 3:1. New character introduced into the narrative. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he has to be loosed a little while. And I saw thrones. Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David is going to sit on his throne. And the 12 apostles are going to sit on the thrones that God promised them, or Jesus Christ promised them that they're going to sit on. They're going to rule Israel. He's going to fulfill everything. Does it say throne?
No.
It says what?
Thrones.
That's exactly what it means. Fulfills prophecies in the Old Testament. And they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you got thrones set up to rule them, you got order, and you've got those who were faithful. But the rest of the dead, and there's a whole different construction in the Greek for dead people. Just they're the necros, the dead. When it talks about believers, they're the ones who raised out from among the dead, because others remain dead when they get up. That'll cost you 10 cents. Okay. You're not laughing at me. I can't tell if you're asleep or some of you are dead. I'm not sure. Lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. So you got a resurrection of the first part of the Lord's day once he returns to the earth and thrones are set up. And other prophecies, like in Matthew 24, let's read there. Even though this doesn't pertain to us, it's interesting to know. And I don't think you'll go crazy with the knowledge, will you? You know, there's signs indicating his coming. Now, this might blow your mind. It blew mine when I saw this. Behold, I got to tell you something here in 25. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And wherever the carcass is, there will the vultures be gathered together. We just read that in Revelation 19, didn't we? We had the feast, the great supper of God. Let the birds eat the carcasses. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Not four blood moons. You got it? And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And they shall... And they shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. We've read about things happening in those clouds earlier, haven't we? He went up on one, we're going up on one, and here we got one he's coming back on. This is the transportation system of the future. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's another trumpet. You got to ask, is this an alarm or this is to gather? This one's to gather. And they shall gather together his elect of Israel from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That means all over the earth. That's pretty neat, huh? Now, it's interesting that after the wrath of God is poured out on the earth, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon won't give its light. You won't be around to see it. So they can talk about four blood moons and we could have eight of them this year and it wouldn't make a damn bit of difference. Okay?
Is that the second resurrection?
Huh?
That's the second resurrection that you just read about?
This is when he comes to the earth. This is when he comes to the earth. And he gathers the living of Israel that are still alive. And I think it's chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. He seals 144,000 in their foreheads. And I believe it's because of their faithfulness and they have not served other gods. But during that period of time, there's a myriad of Gentiles, it says, that get saved, and many Israelites. You just read the chapter. But their garments are washed in their blood, not Christ. I don't want to live in that time. So when he talks over here, he's talking about those that died during the Great Tribulation. And then he gets, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. That's the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Remember? And they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Originally, priests were to offer service up to God, for the people, and they were to be the witnesses to the nation, and they were sent to the synagogues to teach them the word. So they are to be a kingdom of priests that represent God to the world. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He's going to go to deceive the nations. That's what Satan does. He deceives the nations. And when you're deceived, you think you got the truth, right? Any women ever been seduced? You know what I'm talking about. You think he's actually telling you the truth. He just wants to be your friend. Oh, forget. Okay, I'm getting worse and worse, aren't I? Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the land. Earth is land. It's talking about Israel. Compass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. That's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven. And he what? And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, there's some verses that says he commits suicide after a long period of time of that torment. So, all I know is what it says. I don't know. I don't claim to have the answer to that. And the devil that deceived them, verse 10, cast to the lake of fire and brimstone, blah, 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 and tormented day and night. He's the only one that's tormented day and night. The rest of them are people. Those born of the seed, they are not spirit. They are born of the spirit. But the body and the soul's going to be destroyed. Do you understand? The devil is only spirit. Well, that fire is going to be pretty hot. whatever it is, he's going to be tortured a long time, his judgment for what he's done to God's people. Verse 10, and the devil, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Who is it talking about? The ungodly. And they are judged by their what?
Works.
There you go. Verse 14. And death and the grave were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But what do? They die the second death. They're destroyed from the presence of the glory of God. So they're raised to see the glorious one and what's available, and in they go. Now look at chapter 21. It starts to get better now. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the first earth, the former earth, were passed away. The word that's translated first here is also translated former in verse 4. For the former things are passed away. It's the fifth word from the last part of the verse. So the proper understanding is it's not the first heaven and earth that God created. This is the former one in relationship to the new one that he's putting together. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is the bride? The city. That's what it says. That's right. That's the one they look for. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Boomba, Boomba. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his peoples, plural. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine the healing that's going to happen in our hearts? All those tragic things in all of our lives that have happened, it's going to be like they never happened. That's how good our Father is to us. See, the adversary tries to torment us, and all in different ways with different things. You just got to get over it. You got to let them go. And you just got to... The best way to let it go is just get involved with God and move forward. Healing takes time. And it's different for different people. In my own life, some things I can just get over. Other things have stuck with me my entire life and still bother me to this day. It's just people. It's backgrounds. It's the way you're raised. It's the situations you deal with. It's what's in your heart. I could go on and on. I remember after my second time of being fired with the ministry. It about destroyed me. I went down. I had a job selling things all wherever they gave me things. I lived in North Carolina, down in Matthews near Charlotte. And every Monday morning, I had to drive to Atlanta to get my leads. I was given 3 leads a day. And I'd have to drive 2, 3, 4 hours between a lead, present a thing, and sell it one time and walk out with over $20,000. And I had a real high closing rate. Well, one day I'm just sick to death of this whole thing. And they sent me to a nudist colony. And I didn't go. I just called. I said, I quit. Fuck it. And that night, I went to the nearest fellowship I could find, which was a fellowship down in Miami. I was up in the Tampa area. And I got down there, and all of a sudden, the top leader is sick, couldn't talk to me. And I remember I just sat out. I was so miserable. I was so sick. I'd had a letter sent out to believers all over the world telling them how screwed up I was. And nobody would tell me to my face what I had done wrong. It didn't matter who I talked to. It was different every person I talked to. And I just got to the place I was sick of it. I split my twig 3 times 1 year from nothing. And they gave it to somebody else because I wasn't worthy to run one. We had a thing, you probably remember this, where they graded how we operated the manifestations. I won't repeat what I said to my limb leader who graded me and what grade he gave me. And I said, furthermore, don't ever come in my house again. And secondly, you asked me what I'm going to do next year. And I told him, I'll be full-time. He told me I'd never be full-time again. I said, I'll be full-time. Tell him that. Tell him, you can tell him you don't agree with it. But you just tell him. And tell him God told me why you're at it. Next year I was full-time. You see, God's on your side. His will is only good towards you. And I can't tell you the healing that I got in passing of a patriarch just through 2 sentences. Because I thought I was insane, that I was so blind that I couldn't understand what the hell I had done. 30 days later, I'd rebuked a hurricane face to face and literally watched it do this and never touched the state of Florida. It was a Category 5, destroyed Cuba. 2 weeks later, I rebuked 6 tornadoes over Tampa. The city was flooded up to the top of my door, and I drove through it. You can't drive underwater. I did for a half hour. And when I got to the believer's house, it was dry. So I called all the apprentice corps and said, we're meeting outside tonight. I want you to meet me at 7 o'clock. And anybody that didn't show, I dismissed them from the corps because they didn't believe God. I was a real hard ass. I did what God told me to do. And I didn't really give a what anybody thought. So when it came up, and I had the top numbers you could get. Oh, abundant sharing, sending wells, sending corps. And you know what I did when I was there? Whoever wanted me that month, I'd go live in their area. I'd leave my family, and I'd live in their area for a month. I'd put a class together, run a class, and leave another class. I'd meet with the grads. I'd meet with the apprentice corps. I'd meet with the corps every week. I'd do a branch meeting every Sunday. I ate with believers, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, different people. I taught 3 times a day. And I got fired. And the adversary got me to the place to think that God's will was being carried out against me. How do you do that? And he was showing me things in the scripture that I had never seen before. And I just had a meeting where Dr. Werbel told us we have to get to the place that we could teach 1,000 people and know what was going on in people's lives. That God had to show you. And you just had to grow into it. And by God, he started doing that. I got fired. So instead of believing what God was doing, what did I do? I believed what men did to me. That's how stupid I am. I even believed when they told a believer that they died because they associated with me after I was fired. I believed it. I believe my daughter got diabetes because I had sinned. You just wouldn't believe the stuff that I went through in my mind. And I was in sales. It's hard to sell when you hurt that bad on the inside. But I got a 50-some percent closing rate of whatever I've ever sell from the day I was fired to today. Didn't matter. But then when I started to see the Word, I went from 50% almost to 100%. And I never lost customers. I sold real estate when real estate was 22% by revelation. Every morning I get and pray, where do I go, Father? He'd tell me. People buy a house from me. Every day. I sold 16 houses between the last week of November. That's when, the house of the year award and all that stuff. You go have open houses. See, I'm getting... And I became salesman of the month. I sold more houses in 6 months with interest rates at 22% than 50 other... agents sold combined in 6 months. So the broker, the owner, says, I want you to teach him how you be glad to. So I got up and said, Leroy, want me to teach you how I did this? Y'all got your paper and pens? I get up every morning and I pray till I know where to go that day. And then God shows me. And when I was in training, he showed me that people are going to buy because of the financing, because it's 22 is the interest rate. What's our interest rate? 3% today? They don't have any inventory today. We had houses sitting there. Nobody sold a house for 6 months out of 50 agents. And God said they're going to buy for the financing. So I put together every way you could buy the house, and I said, look, it doesn't matter what the house costs. Interest rate is 22%. You know what your appreciation is now? You get more appreciation now than you will ever get if you had this cheap interest rate. So this is how much you get to write off because of taxes, because you're paying so much. So the bigger the interest rate, the greater you're writing off, and your net over here is the best investment you can make in this economy. I sold houses in the street. At the end of my training, I started on a Saturday, and I printed out brochures how to buy houses. And they had agents sitting in houses because they give you houses if you're a good agent. My first day, I sold two that day and three the next. Eight, those brokers called my broker. You better talk to him. He said, why would he do? He sold our houses. They weren't his. I gave him a piece of paper after they'd been in his house and looked at it, and I showed him the difference it could make. I sold 8 houses in December. You don't even work in December as a realtor. I sold 16 in January. I'd sold over 30, 40 houses by February with interest rates at 22% in a town I had just moved to. And was painting as a painter's helper till I got my license. Don't tell me God doesn't answer prayers. Hell, if he has anything to say about it, I might be a millionaire one day. I get $600 a month on Social Security and $300 goes to Medicare. What did Abraham confess for how many years? Father of many nations. His wife couldn't conceive. He could. Sarah was the one that couldn't conceive, says in Hebrews. Read the NIV. It has the best translation of the Greek. Who are you? I'm a father of many nations. How many children do you have? I don't have any yet. But I have a promise. Here we are, children of Abraham. Not only because it says in Galatians, we're children of Abraham. What do you confess? How do you see yourself? Believe God. You had a rocky past. I'm sorry. If we walk godly in Christ Jesus, we will be pursued by the adversary. and he will throw it in your face till he has won and destroyed you, or you can speak the word to him and just make up your mind. Bring your feelings in subjection to the word. We have a choice. I've lived with hurts for years. People talk about, you know, the ministry. How many years ago was the ministry blown up? And they talk about it like it happened yesterday. Get over it. Make up your mind. There's a living God. He still reveals his word. You learned a little this weekend.
A lot.
But you understand what I'm saying? His word didn't end. He's a faithful God. Who ruined Israel? The religious leaders. The Sanhedrin. The men that were responsible to give them the word of God. Why are you surprised? It doesn't matter. One man with light in his eyes multiplies. And when you get enough of the word, when you get a good case of it, what changed your life? You took a class called Power for Abundant Living, didn't you? Why are you sitting here? It must have affected you in some way. It's the beginning of deliverance to know my people are destroyed because they're so evil. They're destroyed because of a lack of knowledge of God's word. Didn't I tell you the end from the beginning? Have I said, and shall it not be? Am I a man that I should lie? How many ways has he got to say it? The adversary gets to us through circumstances and situations till he has us where he wants us. He deceives us. Oh, man. You know why he's called the serpent in Genesis 3? The word serpent is a hypocotestasis. You are like a liar. What's that? A simile. It's a comparison. You're like. It's in like or as. You're like a liar. You are a liar. That's a what? Metaphor. Comparison's in the verb. Liar. That's a hypocotestasis. The serpent. Read it. This may be the biggest lesson of the weekend. It's the one that we started with, really, because God gives words of truth. The devil doesn't. He seduces with his words. 3:1. This is how he introduces him into the narrative. Now, the serpent was more subtle, slyer, deceptive than any living being, is the text, of the field. Not of the garden, of the field. Isn't there a parable in the Gospels that talks about the field? Yeah, there is one. And he plants in that field, and the weeds grow up with it. He lets them grow to the end. And then he does the fan thing. And there's a baptism under fire, which you know what that is? Remember, John baptized Christ. There's two baptisms he mentions in there. What are they? You remember? Somebody's got to remember. Somebody look in there. Read it to me. I think it's in the Gospel of John, maybe 3. No, Matthew 3. John 3, one of them. 20-some. It's top of the right-hand page if you got a Bollinger.
Water and fire. There it is.
Read it. What's it say? Guy's making me work too hard.
Are you talking about Matthew 3:11?
Yeah, read it to me.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
There's two baptisms, and that's not a hendiades where the second intensifies the first. There's two baptisms. Either you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit or you're going to burn. But you know how I know that? Because the next thing he talks about in the fan, isn't it? Read the rest of it.
Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire.
There is your explanation. I don't need to be a Greek student. Just read the context. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that he came to make available, and there's a baptism of fire. And that's not talking about fire, Holy Spirit. It's talking about the lake of fire. Because the fan is in his hand. They have a fan, big fan like this in the east. They have a winnowing floor, and they have a big fan. So they take the crop of wheat, and they put the wheat, if it's the crop of wheat, on the fan. It's not like a yard rake. It's called a fan. And they flip it in the air, and the chaff blows away. And the good grain falls back on the fan, and they put it in the barn. Why do you have barns?
Storehouses.
Tell them, Roger, why do you have barns?
To save your extra.
That's right. Why do you save it?
So you don't go broke in the famines.
That's right. He came, he says, that, and then it goes on to say, doesn't it? Look, you need to baptize me now. Look, we need to fulfill all righteousness. Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
He says, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. God has a reason for this. Just baptize me. You know how many years they baptized before John came on the scene? They didn't.
Okay.
Read John 1. You got a Bullinger, it's on the bottom of the left-hand page. It's 1:18. I can't remember the verses. You got a Bullinger? John 1. This is why water baptism came on the scene. In the temple, they baptized in the, they didn't baptize, but they washed in the laver, which was silver, which stood for redemption, and it reflected their state after they had slain the lamb. So the priest would intercede for them up to God by washing in the laver before they could enter the holy place. Let's see that. Give you this. Let's see. This was the tabernacle. It was a representation of the one in the heavenlies. 1, 2, 3. This entrance was called the way. This one was called the truth. This one was called the life. You ever heard Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Then the first thing you get to is a brass altar. Brass stands for judgment. And this had four horns, one on each corner, where they tie the sacrifice to. Then the priest would slit its throat while you had your hand on top of it so that your sin was conveyed to the Lamb who died in your place. So then the priest would accept your lamb, the Lamb of God. He was also the high priest of Israel. And then after the sacrifice was made, he washed in a brazen altar. Was it brazen? No, it was silver, wasn't it? It was silver. It stands for redemption. Every fabric, every piece of that tabernacle had a significance spiritually. And Christ had to fulfill every type of it. Then you went in. You had a table with the light of the world on it. A table of showbread. I might have these backwards. That's a loaf of bread. And then you had an altar of gold. Gold stands for righteousness. Because once you're cleansed, and Jesus was the light of the world, gave us the light of his word, he's the bread of life, which sustains life, then you went where they offered incense. Do you remember Zacharias, who was John the Baptist's dad? His course, there were 24 courses in the priesthood, and his was to do the incense during his course that year. Then you enter the holiest of all, also called the Holy of Holies, which is a figure of speech in deities that intensifies it, holy to holiest of all. Also called the sanctuary. And here was the Ark of the Covenant. And in that Ark of the Covenant, which was a box, the lid on top was called the mercy seat, where God sat. There was no light in this. Thick curtains. I read one book, it said they were about a foot and a half thick, this curtain here. The one that ripped from top to bottom after Jesus said it is finished. And he looked straight into the holiest of all, because he had accomplished it, that redemption. You had two cherubims sitting on top. The mercy seat was and it's inside, you had the scrolls of the law. I'll get to it, it'll come to me. You had the scrolls of the law. You also had Aaron's rod that budded when God said all the heads of the families line up. Lay your staff down. If it buds, you're high priest. Aaron's rod budded. He was high priest. That was in there. The cup of manna from heaven, which lasted 24 hours, except on the Sabbath, it lasted 2 days. They had a cup of it in there, and it lasted. The mercy seat on top, God sat on. And on the Day of Atonement, the high priest represented the nation of Israel, who offered a lamb, went in here and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat. So it was Jesus Christ's blood, his life given, in mercy, judgment withheld, based upon what God said in his word as the bread of life and the high priest of Israel, who offered complete intercession for God's people forever and ever, the last high priest, who was the bread of life, the light of the world, who was the way, the truth, and the life, who was gave us redemption and the washing away of sins, who was the Lamb of God. Wow. That's just one little part. A priest offers sacrifices up to God, while a prophet gives God's word down to man. The ministries, all the ministries, they serve God down to man, while priesthood served God up to him. What got me started on that? You got to help me along here. I'm old. I'm tired.
John Baptist.
Huh?
Baptized with.
Okay, two baptisms. One with Holy Spirit, which is why Christ came, remember? Because he was created in the image of God. He lost the image. The loss of life is death. His physical body didn't die for 900 reeds, years. And when he died, it says his sons were born in his image. He was body and soul. Just read what's written. We don't even see it. I don't. It takes me years. I'm so slow. But boy, when you see it, isn't it good? Okay. All righty. That's that. What were we talking about before that? Anybody have a clue? Are we all stoned here?
Serpent.
It's serpent. That's it. That's a ticket. Revelation, were we in chapter 20? 21. We made it. Yeah, that's right. We got to the good part. The Lord's Day, the end of it. The end of the second heaven and earth. Now, he saw a new heaven in verse 1 and a new earth, for the former passed away. Got it? No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. That has to be a figure in there, because it talks about it twice. Neither shall there be any more pain. Thank God. If I had to live eternally with arthritis, I don't know what I would do. For the former things are what? We're going to have bodies, but not like the ones we have now. They will not be subject to death nor corruption. There will be no pain in them. I'll take that promise. There won't be anything that causes me sorrow enough to cry. There won't be any more hurt. There will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. I'll read you that before the weekend. He that sat upon the throne, verse 5, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, what's that? Asterismos, an asterisk. Behold, I make all things what? And it's not just talking about new in time. It deals with new in quality. The quality of this earth won't have any death in it for us. Won't have any pain or sorrow or crying in it for us. That's definitely different from the quality we have of life today, isn't it? And he said unto me, it's done. God, I just get chills. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Beloved, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he'll be my son. Wasn't that one of the covenants, an immutable covenant with which God made with Israel? I think it's when he gave the law in Sinai. But the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all that believe the false, the lie, the adversaries, shall not have part, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came to me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come here, I want to show you something. I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, what did we read earlier the Lamb's wife was?
Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem. So he carried me away in the Spirit. Can you imagine this revelation being so vivid? Paul said when God showed it to him, he didn't know whether he's in the body or out of the body. I don't know. God knew it. He showed me the third heaven and paradise. Whether in body or out of body, I don't know. God knows. That's vivid revelation. That's better than HD. That's like what. That's that stuff you put the what you know glasses on and you think you're there.
VR, virtual reality.
Huh?
Virtual reality.
Revelation to the place he thought he was. He couldn't tell the difference. Wow. It's done. It's finished. It's done. Isn't that great? From God's perspective, it's done. What did it say in Hebrews 11:1? Believing is the title deed of things hoped for. It's the assurance of things before they're seen. It's the certainty of things that he's promised before they're seen. You got hope? Have hope. Isn't it wonderful? Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels with a hedge. The seven vials full of the seven last plagues came and talked with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the lamp. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. I want to read this from Walter's translation. Then I won't have to look this stuff up. I'm getting there. He's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more death, mourning, crying. No. Pain passes away. Former things are done. Be able to make all things new. He says, write words faithful. He says, write, for these words are faithful and true. The adversary, the serpent's words, were lies and deceive the whole world. Look at the difference in the gods. He tells the truth, and he's faithful that promised. Adversary is not faithful to anything he says. He just gets you chasing carrots on the end of a string. And if you're stupid enough to follow them, you get what's coming. Anyway, what verse were we in? 10. 10?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And he carried me away by the Spirit in manifestation to a great and high mountain, showed me the holy sanctified city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its star radiance was like a very precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a great and high wall. It had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 spirit messengers and names inscribed on each gate, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, 3 gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who spoke with me had a gold measuring reed to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city's laid out with 4 equal sides, its length as great as the width. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 stadia, which is 1,377 miles, or 2,220 kilometers. Its length and width and height are equal. How far does our ionosphere reach? It's over 1,000 miles, 1,100 miles or so. This city is going to descend out of the heavenly realm to the earth. And I wouldn't be surprised if we got a ride. And he measures its wall, verse 17, 144 cubits, using the measure of a person, that is, of a spirit messenger. A cubit depended on who was king. It was measured from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger. This one was measured by this spirit messenger, this angel. And the construction of its wall was jasper, and the city, the whole entire city, was pure gold resembling clear glass. No drywall. And the foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. First foundation was adorned with jasper. The second with sapphire. The third with, is it chalcedony or chalcedony? Anybody know?
Chalcedony.
The fourth with emerald. The fifth with sardonyx. The sixth with sardius. The seventh with chrysolite. The eighth with beryl. The ninth with topaz. The tenth with chrysoprase. Is that right? Chrysophras, I don't know how to say it. The 11th with jacinth and the 12th with amethyst. That's my birthday stuff. And the 12 gates were 12 lungers, 12 pearls. Can you believe that there are 12 oysters out there that big? 12 gates of one solid pearl. Each one of the gates was from one pearl, and the main street of the city was pure gold resembling transparent glass. What neighborhood are you going to live in? Yeah, I got 1,377 mile block. I didn't see a sanctuary in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its sanctuary. The city didn't need the sun or moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. In the Old Testament, they referred to the glory of God as the Shekinah glory. And it was very bright. So whenever the high priest would go in, God would appear to him, and that place would be lit up. And the Israelites at sometimes when Moses went in, they'd hide their faces because they couldn't stand how bright he was when he came off the mountain and gave him his word. And he saw his tail parts. Isn't that amazing? We're going to dwell in his presence forever. No night. That'll be good, Warner Roger. We ain't going to have to worry about it anymore. Hell yeah, I'm 10,560 years old. Give or take a decade or two. Well, and I didn't see a sanctuary. Okay, city didn't, verse 23, didn't need the sun or moon to shine in. The glory of God illuminated the lamp is the lamp. And the nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory in it. So there will be sheep nations that go into the third heaven and earth, not goat nations, which didn't care for Israel, but took them off as booty, as captives, during the Lord's day. And its gates will never, ever be shut by day. Moreover, there shall be no night there. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing common will ever enter into it, including he who makes an abomination and falsehood. Only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter. Chapter 22. And the messenger showed me a river of water of life, shining like crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its main street and on either side of the river is a tree of life, bearing 12 kind of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing or treatment of the nations. And there will not be any more curse. Remember, the curse came from the fall? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the field. Curse, 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 curse. There won't be any more curse. And the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. And they'll see his face, and his name will be written in his foreheads. And there will be no more night. Said it twice, three times. And they have no need for the light of a lamp, for the light of the sun, because the Lord God will shine upon them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he, the Spirit messenger, said to me, these words are faithful and true. That's our God's word. It's always faithful and it's true. Don't be deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets sent his Spirit messenger to show to his servants what must come to pass quickly. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed or happy is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book or scroll. And I, John, am he who heard and saw these things. And when I heard, I saw. And I fell down to worship the feet of the Spirit messenger who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do it. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brothers the prophets and of those who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God. Doesn't say worship Jesus. He says worship God. And he says to me, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Daniel, he said what?
Seal it,
because it's going to be a while. We live in the last days. Since Pentecost, these are the last days. And every day is closer to his return. Every single day. So when you get up in the morning and you start your prayer with God, you let this hope run through your mind till it burns in your heart, so that you've got an answer to give to every person of the reason of the hope that lives in you. That's what we witness. We witness God's will that Christ carried out. Not to run classes. Not to make up a man-made ministry. We are God's ambassadors, as much as sent to this earth as Christ was sent. And you were hungry for the word, and that's why you're the one sitting here. Because he promised to fill those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, don't seal the words. In the next verse, in 11, he says, let him that's unjust remain unjust. Let him who's filthy remain filthy. Let him who is just continue to practice justice, and let him who is holy remain sanctified. Behold, I come quickly, and my compensation is with me to recompense to each according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they who wash their robes. Who does it? They wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the gates into the city. Outside are dogs and sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, all who love and practice lying. This has to be a summary statement, because there won't be anybody there like that. They'll suffer the second death. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to witness these things to you for the seven assemblies. I am the root and the posterity of David, the shining and morning star. Who's talking?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let those who hear say, come. And let them come who are thirsty. Let those who desire receive the water of life freely. I witness to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues or calamities that are written in this scroll. And if anyone subtracts from the words of the scroll of this prophecy, God will subtract his share from the tree of life and from the sanctified city, which are written about in this book. That'd keep my mouth shut pretty tight if I didn't understand what I was reading. He who witnesses to these things says, yea, I will come quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with all the holy ones. It's part of our hope. It's the part we don't have to worry about. It's the part that will happen to those after we're gone. Got any questions? I told you everything I know about it. Well, we're not going to get to the judgment seat of Christ tonight. I'm done. I'm just done. Okay. So tomorrow.